090. He says, when Chokozay moved to 5920, Voice of Freedom was also on that frequency. But then
yo, this is the Fat King Madzal saying, you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Ha!
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Accra or anytime at WGXC.org.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms' International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Caro, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that on August 3rd, Governor Kathy Hochul announced $108 million to help schools address learning loss during the COVID-19 pandemic and to support mental health. Hochul said, and I quote, "If we don't give young people support now, it will be irreversible. We are setting them up for a lifetime of dependency," end quote. School officials such as Education Commissioner Betty A. Rosa were enthusiastic, saying, and I quote, "Together we know we can do great things in partnership with the governor. We can provide innovative resources to meet student needs in these unprecedented times," end quote. Schools and Cooperative Educational Services can apply for the funding by August 18th for the first round of the program. 60% of the money is promised to schools outside New York City. Hochul said she heard from a student in the Bronx that there was just one guidance counselor for 700 students with a month-long waiting list. Hochul said, and I quote, "We're going to fix this. We're not going to abandon you," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup. Greene County Emergency Medical Services wants a 12.8% funding increase next year, with $2,171,000 from Greene County and $382,000 to be split among the 14 towns there. Funding keeps paramedics in fly cars 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a county with a large valley and a big mountainous area. When the agency was started in 2000, call volume was less than 800. But Greene County EMS President Mark Evans said, and I quote, "We anticipate in the next year or two we will break 4,000 calls," end quote. Earlier this year, Greene County EMS added 3 ventilators to its fleet, the first regional agency with ventilators. Evans said, and I quote, "They have only been on the trucks for 3 weeks and have already been used 3 times, end quote. The story does not say when Greene County legislators will vote on the funding. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Jamal Cutler reports in Columbia Greene Media that the Catterskills Farm Natural Storehouse health food store in Greenport closes August 31st after 27 years open. Martha Stevenson of Greenport said, and I quote, "I've been coming here for the last 7 years. The prices were fair, and I liked that they made me feel welcome when I walked through the door. It's a shame that so many businesses are closing. First the Salvation Army thrift store, now this," end quote. The store will continue to operate a Catskill location where the 6 Greenpoint employees will be transferred to. Brian McGowan, Chief Executive Officer for Catterskill Farm Natural Storehouse, said, and I quote, "My wife and I started the business back in 1996, and we've grown the business, taken over more space. To be honest, we really wanted to retire by selling the store, but our lease expired at the end of December. Our emails, phone calls, and texts have gone unanswered since the early part of February. They haven't responded to our attorney's email either. For 27 years, we have paid our rent on time every single month. The only thing I can assume is that they don't want us as a tenant anymore," end quote. The landlord, TRG, could not be reached for comment. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a nice Sunday before thunderstorms return on Monday and Tuesday with some possible heavy rainfall. Sunday should be sunny with a high near 80 and a wind from the east around 5 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Sunday night, there's a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 4 a.m. with cloudy skies and wind 3 to 5 miles per hour from the south. Monday, showers are likely. There's a 70% chance of rain. Cloudy skies and a high of 74 with a south wind 8 to 11 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Monday night, again, an 80% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 66. Tuesday, again, there is a 70% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high of 79 and a low around 63. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio.
French jazz guitarist Jean Lepouge started teaching himself to play at age 13, and we'll hear him joined by a drummer and a cellist on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Matoma, Nora Lorway, Holly Herndon, and Nick Stark. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe here, and I'm now joined by Alana Nowitzki. I didn't ask the pronunciation, so I'm going to have more trouble with Maya Prohovnik.
Close enough, Prohovnik.
Prohovnik, okay. from the Wheelhouse Creative Education Center. Alana, you are the Executive and Community Programs Director. And Maya, you have a son at the school. Is that all
That's
correct?
Right,
or
yeah.
Correct me on on all of that. So tell us what the Catskill Wheelhouse and it's not Catskill, it's Wheelhouse Creative Education Center is. What
exactly.
is it?
Exactly. So our former name was Catskill Wheelhouse. So
that's why I'm confused.
That's why you're confused. And we are just renaming ourselves the Wheelhouse Center for Creative Education. Wheelhouse Creative Education Center. Still practicing myself. We are a nonprofit educational organization. We offer a variety of different programs. I think we're most well known in the area for early childhood, for preschool and toddler programs. We offer a lot of other things as well, though. We do a summer camp program that we're in the middle of right now. Mm. We do arts enrichment programming on the weekends during school break sessions, and we do after-school arts enrichment programming as well. So we do a lot of different things. We just closed on a forever home right down the road from you in ACRA, 5599 Route 23, and we're so excited to have this permanent location because we have a lot of plans and a lot of big ideas that we really want to bring into reality. You know, I think our goal since we started in 2015 in Catskill has been to support families in lots of different ways and to try to create the circumstances that all families need to thrive. And our ability to do that is really going to grow in our new space. So we've got lots of plans and pots on the stove cooking.
I think I saw the school started, you said, in 2015?
That's right.
Like five parents got together and yep. said we need another resource in the area?
That's right. So we were founded by a group of families who all had young kids and who were looking for creative, child-centered programming that would enrich the lives of kids and also to support one another. So yeah, it was the brainchild of these five folks, all with young kids. I was one of the first people that they hired. I had a toddler myself, so I was starting a school with an 18-month-old, which is not an easy thing to do, I will tell you. I was one of the first hires along with one other teacher, and since then we've grown from, you know, five kids enrolled in our initial class. We now have about 30 kids enrolled in our main preschool and toddler programs, and then we serve about 75 kids a year in our enrichment and summer programs.
And what is the focus of the I mean, I guess there's different philosophies about very young kids and education. So
sure.
what is your guys' philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what really is at the heart of the work that we do with kids is just believing that children are full and complete human beings from the time they come into the world. There's this quote that I really like that I always misattribute, but it's the idea that childhood is not preparation for life, childhood is life. And so our work with kids is really about kids finding meaning in their own work and learning how to live with one another. So we kind of think about it as trying to create the world that we want to live in, like right here, right now.
I was going to say, you focused on society's worst problems and said you're going to fix it?
Pretty much, yep. It's, you know, I like banging my head against walls, apparently. You know, I think, but it's also really a really beautiful thing, you know, that every day we show up to work and kids just have amazingly creative ideas that then they need to navigate with other people, negotiate with one another, learn how to self-advocate, learn how to bring their ideas into fruition. And our staff has a really deep knowledge of child development. They know what kids need at different ages, and they're able to meet them where they are and then gently guide them to the next level. So we don't, you know, other educational philosophies have a very specific methodology that they follow. So a Montessori program, a Waldorf program, those all have a very specific methodology. The reason that we've chosen our new name, the Wheelhouse Creative Education Center, is that our approach to education, we view it almost as an art form. You know, who are the kids who are presented to us on a day-to-day basis? What do they need? Who are they? What do they love? What are their interests? And how can we bring them together into a community where each individual has a voice and also has the opportunity to take care of one another? So, you know, in some ways it's, you know, can sound a little dreamy and a little pie in the sky, but also I see it work every single day. You know, I see kids learn to listen to one another. I see them learn to communicate their needs. I see them do things that nobody's ever thought of doing before. And all of these skills that kids are learning in their early years in our program are the things that our research indicates that these are the skills that kids need later in life, you know, especially in the world that we're facing that contains problems that humans have never experienced before. You know, having kids who know how to problem solve, how to think creatively, how to overcome obstacles, how to fail and try again, you know, these are all things that research really solidly demonstrates lead to school success, and that also are just immensely useful in pretty much any future that a kid might want.
And I will say, as a parent, so my son's a little over two, and he's been going since January, and he was a pandemic baby, so we really had no idea how he was going to do. And we loved
He hadn't met any humans before.
He'd met some humans, but very few. You know, he hadn't really interacted. He's an only child. He hadn't interacted with other little kids. And so we were like, is he going to be one of those kids shoving people? Like, we had no idea. And he has done, like, he started talking since he started going to the wheelhouse. He can count all of a sudden. He's doing sign language, like, all of these things. And I think what you said is exactly right, where it's like, he'll come home some days and we're like, I guess you know how to use scissors, like, you were ready for that, and we, you know, we never would have known. So we really, I think, you know, part of the reason why my family has gotten so involved in the wheelhouse is it's been such an amazing experience for our son and for us, just building that community. So it's just, it's an organization, like, we've, I agree, like, I think it works. It's such a warm, welcoming place, and I think this new location is really going to be an opportunity for them to do everything they've been wanting to do for years and really be able to serve Greene County at, like, at a, you know, in a bigger capacity. So I think it's really exciting.
And did you, how did you find Wheelhouse? Was it a difficult thing or was it easy? Or I think I go back to the way you guys were founded. We have a child who's high school now, but when she was the super young age we're talking about, we talked with other parents and sort of went in together on with one local teacher.
Yeah.
So what was your story?
I think it was a Google search, probably. And, you know, it's like when you search, there's not a lot of great options in this area, like throughout the county. And when you search, you know, it's like we're new parents. We have no idea what we're even looking for. We're just like, somebody help us with our kid. And I think we applied to a few different preschools, like some, I think, up to an hour away. Everyone had a wait list because, again, this was like during or like right after sort of things reopened. And so a lot of people were looking to send their kids to school. And so we were on the wait list. We applied in the fall, and I think we just got in January. And then we were like, oh, my God, we finally did it, you know. But I think it was pretty random, and then we were just so pleasantly surprised. But I think that's why, like, I feel so strongly. I think if more people knew that the Wheelhouse was here and how it works and all the great things it can help with, I think it could really be meaningful to a lot more families in the area than are aware of it today.
And you started with five families, and where were you in Catskill?
So we were located just a little bit past the elementary school up on Ombach Lane, which is now the site of Catskill Montessori. So we were originally there during kind of pandemic reshuffle chaos. We moved to a temporary location in Caro. So we've been operating Caro since 2021, and during that span of time, we've been looking for our permanent home, which is not easy when you're in a record high real estate market and you're a nonprofit organization, but we finally did it. We will be moving to Acra on 8.6 acres with a creek and garden space and lovely classrooms.
That's great. And so when does the move happen?
We are in the midst of gaining all of the approvals that we need from the state in order to operate. We likely will be remaining in our current space in Caro until the end of September and then moving in October to the new space. But we are enrolling families for fall, and because we will have this expanded space, we do have some openings available. You know, the timing is not ideal regarding the transition, but it is what it is, and it's going to be great.
And we're also doing a grand reopening party, so that we do have a date for, and that's going to be August 19th, which is a Saturday, and it's free for everyone. We're inviting families from all over Greene County. We're going to have ice cream and live music and all kinds of fun activities for kids, so that's kind of what we're focused on right now, along with the move.
And you have been full up in terms of space for kids until now with the new space?
You mean in terms of our enrollment?
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so, for the past year, our preschool program was full. Going into next year, you know, whenever you run a preschool, kids turn five. And then they go to elementary school. And because our program currently ends at five, that's why we have spots available.
And I imagine birth rates are fairly level, but the COVID may have thrown things off. Mm-hmm. And are you getting a bubble of certain age students or not?
Yeah. I mean, there definitely has been, COVID did mean that it was a bit hard to plan because people's lives just were changing so much in that time frame.
Who knows what was going to happen next.
Exactly. It was not an easy time for the field of education or for most people in general. But, yeah, so we have had a lot of, you know, families moving to the area, then families moving away from the area, people coming, people going. There has been a lot of flux, and that is what it is.
What's the most difficult thing about putting a school on?
So many.
If you would like me to talk all afternoon about the challenges, I certainly can do that. I think the hardest part of running a school is just how many different types of knowledge you need. So, you know, my background is as an educator, but I have to do marketing, I have to know building code, I have to know what the fire inspector does, I have to know how our vacuum cleaner works, you know, just all of these pieces that go into running a school and coordinating people. You know, in a lot of ways it is like putting on an event every single day, you know, and to be able to balance the logistical pieces, but always to prioritize love and care and creating a welcoming environment and creating relationships where people feel seen and heard and valued and that their kids are going to be well taken care of. That's always our priority. And doing that while also being like, oh, and I got to pay the electric bill. And oh, I got, you know, all of the infinite number of tasks that are part of making it happen. It's a lot to balance.
So on the flip side, for both of you, what is the most rewarding thing that's come out of it? Have you seen anything specific happen with your son from this school?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm biased because I think he's the best, but I do think that he has become so, he's so good with other kids. And when we take him to a playground, it's like, I get comments from other parents that are like, he's so good at sharing, he's so patient, he takes turns. And I really, some of that is luck, but some of that I do attribute to the way that they teach and interact with the kids at the school. And we've always talked about, I mean, when my husband and I first dropped him off for his first day, you know, you never know how they're going to do. And we're like the ones crying and waiting to see if he's okay. And I just remember, like, we drove away and we turned back because they were outside in the morning, and we saw, like, one of the teachers was just, like, hugging him and handing him, like, bubbles or something. We were like, he's good. You know, like, he looked so happy and already, like, he felt so comfortable. So I think that has been so amazing for him. And then I think just in general as a parent, really being able to build that community, you know, it's like we're also coming out of a pandemic where a lot changed, and we had a young kid and didn't know a lot of other people who had kids the same age. Now we have friends, we have people who are going through the same thing, and a lot of that really has come from, I like the wheelhouse metaphor, because I'm like, I feel like the school is really the hub of that community. So yeah, I think those are some of the things that have been really special for us.
Is that what the name is about?
I don't know.
I think it's about kind of, this is a place where people can bring their area of expertise, kind of like this is, well, you know, this is where people can come with their, like, this is in my wheelhouse, and it's meant to be that for everybody, you know. We really like the
the second part of our name also. Yeah, and I think I would say the most rewarding part for me, I just love seeing our kids take care of one another. And I do think that that is something that we really cultivate. You know, I just watching out the window today, a kid fell down on the playground and just, you know, scraped her knee. But there was like six kids that just like ran over and were all taking care of her, you know. And I just, like, that's what I want to make in the world. You know, I want to make a world where people take care of one another and work to make the world better for one another.
We also, I don't know if you mentioned the sliding scale, because I think that also is something that I think is so special about it, that they do tuition on a sliding scale basis, going, I think, all the way to zero.
Zero, we start at zero.
And so I think that's a really amazing part of their mission to make sure that they can serve all kinds of families from throughout Greene County.
And I guess it's important that the kids get to hang out with all kinds of different kids.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely, yeah.
What is the new space going to really do for the center?
Well, I mean, I think one of the big challenges that we've faced over the past few years is just that there was a degree of instability that was inherent in being in a temporary space. So, you know, families wanted to join us, but they don't know if we're going to be within commute range for them if we have to move. So having a permanent space is going to do wonders for just that stability piece. It also means that we can build up our infrastructure in ways that we haven't in the past. So we have a grant to build a food producing garden with a greenhouse. So, you know, that's something you can't do in a temporary space. I mean, you can, we got some tomatoes in pots, but it'll allow us to really develop that infrastructure. You know, we do a lot of outdoor education as a really important piece of our program. So getting to know the forest that we're on and to know the geography, to know that land really well, and to teach kids to be able to be good stewards of that, is something that it's really hard to do that if you might have to move. You know, you can develop a connection, but it's not the same. So having our own space is just going to allow us to go deeper in the work that we've been doing. And I think to become even more of a hub. You know, like, here we are, right in the middle of the county. We got all kinds of programs for all kinds of folks. You know, whatever you need, call us up. We'll see what we can do.
And another neighbor that's perfect for what you were talking about with the forest is the Agroforestry Center.
The Cooperative Extension.
Cornell Cooperative.
Yeah.
It's right down the road.
Absolutely. Yep. I am about to email her. I'm looking for an in to the petrified forest. We want to take our kids. They're really into the fossils.
I'm sure everyone wants to see the petrified forest. They had the Carroll Library and the Historical Society did something a couple weeks ago, and it was jam-packed.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
What else do you want people to know about the Wheelhouse Creative Education Center?
I'd love for people to know a little bit more about our long-term vision. You know, we really have this dream of creating the circumstances that all families in Greene County need to thrive. And that's a big project. Obviously, we're not going to accomplish that overnight, but we have done little pieces of it. We worked with the summer rec program in Catskill when it was run by the community center. We built a children's garden in Elliott Park where they did the programming there. We know that gardening is a really enriching and meaningful experience for kids and adults. So those little pieces of, you know, what do people need and how can we build that together, that's where we want to go. We think about things like, we're really excited about this idea we've been playing with of a family center, which would include a toy library, a clothing closet, a space where you can have a drop-in playgroup for kids and their parents can go in the other room and drink tea without their children climbing on them, you know? So we really are envisioning, you know, our preschool and toddler program is at the heart of what we do, and we love it. And we also see creative ways that our community can better work to mutually support one another. You know, another idea that we've been discussing a lot and that we're working towards in the fall is creating networks of peer support for families who are in some